You move to Yoshua. Okay. So what happens in Yoshua? Yoshua is a good. So we very quickly, right? So Sefer Yoshua is conquest. Very good. First thing to know is that Yoshua, Sefer Yoshua, is a happy book. That's a chiddush because nothing else is happening.
That's not
true.
That's not true.
Okay. Whoa.
The beginning of it is not.
No.
The beginning of it is like the only part that is.
I mean.
No.
Moshe died. He died in the previous book. He was also 120. I mean, sad, but like. Okay, so first thing to know about Yoshua is that. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's be careful. How many recorded sins are there in the book of Yoshua? One. There is one recorded sin of one person. Achan. Achan, right? Okay, one and a half. Fine. Achan steals, and the Shvatim aren't good enough at conquering their land.
That's so scary.
Yes, and then they lose an eye. Very good. Otherwise, I would just like to point out that the book starts off like this. Just remember how remember the book we just finished, Torah, right? How nice does Moshe's leadership look?
Super. No.
Oh, great. Great.
A little rocky.
Right?
A
little rocky. Shtickle rocky. Good. How about? Good. What about Yoshua? So here's a point I want to remember, Angel, which is wonderful. Chazal capture the moment. When they saw Yoshua take over, right? There's a Gemara in, right? The Gemara says as follows. What happens? All the leaders who knew Moshe said, Gevalt. Moshe is the sun. Yoshua is the moon. And like, right? He's a pale reflection. This is going to be horrible, right? Mm-hmm. Not only that, but the Midrash in Kohelet Rabbah is the most critical thing that's ever said. The Midrash in Kohelet Rabbah says, you want to know what the people thought of Yoshua? Well, let's do a very simple test. Mm-hmm. How often does Yoshua talk in Chumash before he's appointed as...
Like once?
Nope.
Five.
Nope. Twice.
Oh, twice.
Twice. Five. There's, yeah. What's the common denominator? This is a Midrash. This is not me.
Yeah, he talks about when the prophet...
That's the second time, and the first time is...
Sinai.
Say there you go, right? He appears at other times, but he only talks twice. Good. And what does the Midrash point out? There's a common denominator. One is right when Moshe comes down at Cheda Yigel, and the second is Eldad and Medad are prophesying. What's the common denominator? No, that would be great. That's not what it is. It's not true. Correct. He's wrong. Right? Moshe yells at him both times. Right? Is the first time he says Yoshua. No, you're wrong. He doesn't criticize the Jews because. Right? Because Moshe says to Yoshua, what do you hear? And he says, I don't know. It's a party. It's noise. I don't know what's going on. And Moshe says, no, you idiot. Right? What are you talking about? This is not war. That's not what you're hearing. What you're hearing is a rebellion and an orgy. Do you not know what you're listening to? Right? That's the first time we meet him. Second time, what does we meet him? Right? He's like, tell them not, put them in jail or destroy them or whatever it is. And Moshe says, what are you doing? If only they would all be Nevi'im. Literally, the Midrash says, you know why they're petrified? Because the only two times the man talks in Tanakh, right before this, he's wrong. And if the Midrash, just to make it better, says, and what is the third time that we hear about him? Meraglim, great. What is the famous Rashi that right at the beginning of Meraglim? What? You're right. He only talks twice. He talks at Meraglim.
Yeah, he talks at Meraglim.
Good. Yeah. What do we know about the Meraglim?
He
failed to stop them. And also, you remember that famous Midrash that might highlight the way Chazal think about Yoshua?
Which one?
That Kalev silenced them. And how did Kalev get the courage to silence them? According to the Midrash, he goes to Hebron and davens. Good. How does Yoshua get the courage? Moshe adds a letter and says, "Kel Yatzil Chami Atzad Miraglim." Right? Like, he is a leader and he only manages to not succeed, but stand up because Moshe says, please save this man, right?
But
it's not like.
I
understand. The Midrash makes this point. The Midrash is making a point. The point is that Yoshua is not someone either. Not that he's not great, that's not what I'm saying, but the Midrash is pointing out that, like, the Torah seems to go out of its way to highlight the fact that Yeshua is not
like Moshe.
Moshe. What's the amazing thing?
He actually does way better.
He does a million times better. They literally never complain in the entire book, including
when they lose a war.
It's not just that. First Perek. What is the first Perek? By the way, the first Perek of Yeshua is amazing because it shows you two things. One is that people are terrified, and the second is that they care about Yeshua.
Yeah.
Right? They like him. Right? How do I know? Because this is the first Perek, right?
Yeah.
First, God says, Yeshua dies, he talks to Yeshua, Moshe died, da 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 da, right?
Yeah.
Pasuk Vav, sixth Pasuk already. After he's told him the facts, Moshe's dead, you're in charge. What is the first thing God actually tells him that he didn't know yet? Chazak Ve'emat, please have courage, right? And then Pasuk Zion, what's Pasuk Zion? Rock Chazak Ve'emat, right? Rock, please, just, right? Great. Okay. Pasuk Tet. Halot Zividika Chazak Ve'ematz. Al Tarot Ve'al Techa Tim Chasha. Right? Now.
I think he's trying to convince Yeshua of something.
Yes. He's trying to. Now, wait. It's not done. It's not done. Right? What happens? Right?
Oh, with the officers?
Right. The next thing is he goes and he starts actually leading, and he tells Then he tells Reuven and Gad and Chatzi Shevet Menashe. Remember what Moshe told you, right? That you have to go fight. You have to be the vanguard, then you come back. You remember that? And what do they say?
Yeah, we'll look it up.
They say yes. Good. And then what do they say? Kol Ish Asher Yamrad Pichav Lishma Derech Chosher Tenu Yumat Rach Chazak Ve'ematz.
And anyone who doesn't listen,
we'll kill him. Just have courage, right? Four times in the first Berek, right? Three times by God, and then by Reuven. So you can understand that things are a little bit
dicey.
Correct. And yet, Yeshua never, no one complains. Amazingly, there's one sin, right? And then, one second. There's one sin, and what happens? So, Achan steals, right? They go into Yericho, right? Great. Okay, we can't get into all the details of when does this happen and the spies and whatever. But he goes to Yericho, and then what happens?
36 people die.
They lose the war. What would happen in the time of Moshe?
Oh, they complain.
Gevalt! What are you doing? You took us to kill us! Now, what do the people say? What do the people say to Yeshua?
It's fine.
Nothing. They say nothing. Right? Good. Why? Very good. That's right, Angel's point on this, right? I took Yeshua Shoftim with him when I was in YU, and he said it's very simple. You know why Yeshua doesn't they don't complain to him? Because Moshe is Ish Elokim. All the people are like, you're perfect, so they're complaining to him. Yeshua is one of them. Because what happens after Melchemet Ai? What happens after Muhammad Ai? Why don't the Jews complain? There's a very simple answer why the Jews don't complain.
How dark is it?
It's they have
It was a normal war for them?
No! Right? Because... Because Yeshua goes to God, and everything the Jews would have said to Moshe, Yeshua yells at God. Why should they complain? He does it for them. He says, right? Parak Zion, Pasuk Zion. Pasuk Vav first. Vayikra Yoshua Simlotava, he pulled up on Artsilf, Nearon Adonai Adarev, who was Ignatius Rav, who are fire Roshav. Him and all the people, right, all the Zikanim, they tear their clothes, they put ash on their head, and you don't hear the Jews complain, because the next Pasuk is Vayomer Yoshua, Aha, Adonai Elohim, Lama Havarta, Vir Amaze, Ela Yardain, Latino Lana Biara Mare, Lavidenu, Long and Shavir Yardain. He says, God, what are you doing? Leave us on the other side of the Yardain, right?
The rock and God doesn't
right exactly
go.
In Chumash Moshe says, "Oi, right, what is it? What, you don't have enough faith, you ye of little faith?" Yeshua is like, God, what are you doing? Leave us on the other side. And the people are like, this guy gets us. I mean, like, kishmak, right? I'm reading this book now by Martin Guri or whatever. Like, he's called the Revolt of the Public,
yeah,
right? And he's like, yeah. He's like, one of the big problems of the information age is everyone has realized that the hierarchies have no power, that the government isn't effective. They expect it to perform miracles anyways, but you're never going to win because you're always going to make mistakes and they're going to find out it in 5 seconds. So who's the most – right? So he published the book in 2014. He said, yeah, in the beginning of his presidency – Obama lost popularity within 5 seconds. Why? Because he did, right? He plummeted. Why? And that was why he lost so much support during the midterm elections, because Because he had the stimulus package and people didn't like how it was unrolled and it didn't accomplish its goals and everyone was criticizing them, right? Except how when he had become president, right? Why did he become president? What was he seen as? Yeah, he was changed. It's corruption in Washington. I'm an outsider, right? I'm young. Great. What does he transfer, right? His popularity started going up after the midterm election. So what did he start doing in all his speeches? He started criticizing the government. The forces are out to get you. He's the president of the United States, right? And he spends the entire... No, it's not that. Stop. Right? This is not a political point. The point is simply, right? And you could disagree with his analysis. I don't care. Right? But his claim, right, is that the reason that... He said, like, it's a little bit crazy. It's speech after speech where Obama started saying, I understand how frustrated you are. The government's out to get you. It's like, you are literally the president of the United States. Right. But if you give a speech, if you give me another thing about a Republican shutdown, I'm going to kick you out of the chair. I don't care about your politics at all. Right. I don't care. My point is just rhetoric. Right. The point is my point. I'm simply making a point about rhetoric. Right. Is that in the end of the day, even if you have the power, right, saying that you're one of the people and expressing their fears and saying, yeah, they're out to get you, even if it's somewhat not coherent because you're literally and right. Yeah, that's all my point. I'm not making a political one. I'm making a simple point. Right. Which is his claim. Right. Is that this is why he lost popularity at the beginning, because he came in as an outsider president. Then he tried to be an insider and actually do things. But inevitably, things didn't go as planned because that's how politics works. Right. Which isn't good when you are coming as an outsider and saying, I'm going to fix it. And then it doesn't work. Right. But if you're an outsider and you pretend to be an outsider, even though you're literally the president. Right. That is rhetorically very powerful. This is not a question of whether he was a good president or bad. I don't care. I'm making a point about rhetoric. Right. Is that people find that very powerful. Right. Is that even if it doesn't make sense at some level. Right. It's powerful. In the case of Yeshua, it actually makes sense because, you know, God is the person, is the being in charge. He's not. So it actually, yeah. So like, he is the power of the be and he actually can't mess up. So it actually sort of makes sense, right? That actually does make sense, right? Rudy, this really was not a political claim at all, right? Right? By the way, right? You could say the exact same thing about Trump, right? That's the exact point, right? Is that, right? This is not like political. I could then go on. The transition point is what he points out with Obama. Then he points out that this process comes to its logical conclusion in Trump, who is nihilist par excellence, that his entire strategy of publicity was, right, was they hate you, the media, right? His point, and Guri's point, is that this is basically how all the governments around the world are working right now, yeah. Right? Is everybody who is an insider, if they want to be successful, they hate you, right? Everyone has to be an outsider to be an insider, right? It doesn't work, right? But the point is, rhetorically, that's really powerful, right? This is not a political point. It's a point about rhetoric, right? That Yeshua doesn't need, right? The Jews don't need to complain to Yeshua because they legitimately feel that Yeshua gets them, right? Because, and therefore, Angel argues that his greatest liability becomes his greatest asset.
That he's right? A man of the people.
He's a man of the people, right?
He wasn't necessarily wrong.
What? No. Now, okay, guys. So now, Yeshua is this very, therefore, effective leader. What is his goal? Yes, Josh. So it's not like a sin, right? Like, it's fine, maybe. Maybe. I mean, whatever, right? I don't know. But what's the point of saving Yeshua? Big Adol, what is the theme of Yeshua? Oh, it might be. If you want to call that a chet, sure. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's not right. It's not like clear that it's right. A chet, but okay.
Yeah.
Obviously, you could read other chets, but fundamentally, yes, the chet is awesome.
That's fine.
Right. The point is, there's one major sin that the Jews get punished for.
Yes.
Right. Givonim, maybe it wasn't the right thing. They don't get punished for it at all.
They get punished for it.
Right. Right. Yeshua doesn't get punished. Right. Not like, you know, Moshe. Oh, you sin. You're not going to Israel. Yeshua, you know.
Maybe you can I say
like, right? Would you like? I mean, what is the extent of God's criticism of Yeshua after he yells at him? No, is Lama Zata is Kum Lech, get up. Lama Zata Nofel Panecha. Why are you going? They sin, fix the problem, and we'll win. That's the extent of his Musar that God gives him. So even you want to call it a chait, God doesn't take it as such a serious chait. He's like, get up, do tshuva. Yeah, and by the way, Can you imagine the one major sinner, the person who undeniably sins, Achan, right? How does that story end? Yoshua says, please, listen, do me one favor. Just admit your sin, because it's such a chilul Hashem that this happened. Could you just admit your sin? And Achan says, like literally, read this psukim. Imagine this. Moshe at the Korach. Okay, imagine this happened. Perek Zayin pasuk Yotet. By Yomer Yoshua Achan Bini. Right, he says, my son, Simna Chavod LaHashem Elokei Yisrael. Please give honor to God. This is the one sinner in the whole book. Right, give honor to God. V'tein lo todah. Right? Acknowledge him. Please tell me what you did. You're right. I sinned. This is where it is. Please go to my tent. Go under this thing and all the money is hidden there. That is the extent. This is the villain. You understand? Can you imagine this happening in Chumash to Korach? Moshe tries. Right? Rav Lachem Dev Levi. And he's like, and what do they say? Oh, you're going to poke at our eyes? Like, what? Right? So God, yes. So Moshe has to resort to, if there is a opening in the earth, let it open it. If not, may God create a new opening to hell. Right? Like, that is how things work with Moshe. And Yoshua, it's like, I know you sinned and led to the Jews dying. Can you do me a favor and apologize? Because, like, it's not honoring for God. And Achan says, you're so right. I'm sorry. Just take it. Just take the money. Just take it. Just take it back. I mean, like, this book is like, if there was ever an idyllic book in Tanakh, it's Yoshua in Ruth, right? Ruth, the villain, is the person who says, I don't want to do Yibum. Ooh. Whoa. Right? Right, yes. I will do Gula, but I can't do Yibum. You are the villain for whom we strip your name, Ploni Almoni. You lose your identity for that grave sin. Right? Also an idyllic book. Right? As opposed to like, I don't know, Malachim, Yirmiyahu, Yeshayahu, Yechezkel, Hosea, Amos. Sure, the whole book is about Jonah rebelling against God, but sure.
Well, he does the right thing.
It turns out, well, it starts with genocide. Anyways, not the point. Anyways, guys, Yoshua. But the main point of Yoshua, guys, main point of Yoshua is the second half of the book is all. The first half of the book are major wars. The second half of the book is dividing of the country. Good? Right? And then the final chapter of the book is a reforging of the Brit. Right? They have a new Brit. You probably know these psukim, but you don't know they know the psukim. We read it at, we darshan them during the Seder. Right? A lot of these psukim are invoked from there. Yeah. Right? But now, there is one important thing to note, and this gets us to Shoftim, which is that if you finish Sefer Yoshua, you get the feeling that how much of Israel did the Jews conquer? No, that's not the feeling you get in the book. Right, you feel like you get all of it because, right? Right, that's basically how the book ends. Like, it's great. Right. Right? So God, right? And everyone goes, guys, stop. Right? Meaning at the end, you do the Brit, right? And then he says, by Shalach Yeshua, it sounds like everyone's at their Nachla and it's all great. And then Yeshua dies and this is getting him to take over and it's wonderful. End of book, right? That's Yeshua. What's the problem? That the second you get to Shoftim, there's enemies everywhere, right? How did that happen? The answer is, if you read Yeshua carefully, Yeshua is artificially constructed as an idyllic book, right? Because the second half, what we actually find out is how many Shvatim actually conquered their territory?
Like,
only Yehuda. And then Yosef did most of it.
Yeah.
And the rest of the Shvatim only conquered what they needed to live. But the enemies stayed. Which means that Yeshua is presented as an idyllic book, but it already hints at the fact that
problems are
that right. There's a problem, namely that they didn't conquer what they were supposed to.
I find it interesting that like this kind of culmination of like the brief made with like Abraham. Like the land, like everyone's gonna go in the land, is only done not even in Tanakh, but in like, the beans.
Right.
Not even Torah.
Correct. Like in, correct. It's after the year of the land. Right? And then you get, I mean, Perek Avdal is this amazing, right? It's this amazing covenant. Right? It's not like, right? But it, okay, Ezra, I'll take an extra minute on this, but you're right. Meaning it's the culmination of Avram. Meaning the Brit is, he brings them all together. By Yomer Yeshua, Kol Am, Kol Amar Adonai Yisrael, Be'evar Nahar Yashua Otechem Me'olam Terech Avi Avraham Vavina Chor Yavdu Elohim Acherim, right? Meaning it literally is the entire story of the Jewish people. That's exactly what it is. Yeshua is, in that sense, an addendum of Torah. There's no, for sure, 100%, right? But in that sense, right? But once you realize that Yeshua hints at this already, right? Then you realize that it's not, it's idyllic, but that's because Yeshua is actually presented as an idyllic leader, right? And therefore, he does everything he can. But the seeds are planted in Sefer Yeshua for the utter, unmitigated disaster that is Sefer Shoftim, which brings us.